Bueno, gracias al Señor. Amén. Nos gozamos en los cánticos también. Hoy queremos continuar en Romanos capítulo 1. We will continue today in our series of messages based on Romans. And this will be our third sermon on Romans. So we'll be in Romans 1, verses 18 through the end of the chapter, 18 through 32, okay? And we're going to be summarizing what the Lord is telling us in those verses. And I've chosen to title the sermon, Un Jíbaro Condenado. So let me explain first what a jíbaro is. A jíbaro is a stereotype of the Puerto Rican peasant, okay? The countryside, the one that is used to work on the agriculture, and it resembles the Puerto Rican, typical Puerto Rican from the early 1900s, okay? Used to be a very simple man that worked to sustain his family, and he's very typically understood to be like the drawing that you have on your right there. And that drawing, as a matter of fact, is called our everyday bread, nuestro pan, el pan nuestro de cada día, referring to the plantains as the bread, right? Now, and we typically have a very heartwarming picture of what a jíbaro is, right? And it's typically exalted, and it needs to be in many ways as one that fought against many odds in order to survive and sustain his family, right? And this is the typical stereotype for the jíbaro. Now, condenado, I believe you know what it means. Condenado means condemned. So this jíbaro is condemned for some reason. No matter how good who is, or he is, or works, or really, you know, very diligently works toward his goal, he's still condemned, right? And that phrase used to be very typical from my grandmother, from my maternal grandmother. I recall she saying in a jokingly fashion for someone that was trying to reflect way higher than he was, and he would say, "Oh, mira ese jíbaro condenado," like saying, "Oh, he thinks he's like a president, but he's only a jíbaro," right? That's probably what she meant by it. So, thinking about the title for the sermon, I thought, "El jíbaro condenado," is very literally what Paul is telling us in this very last verses of Romans 1, okay? So, let's pray, and then let's read the Word of God, okay? Vamos a orar. Padre Santo, Señor, bendícenos ahora. Te vamos a leer tu palabra, vamos a interpretarla, Señor. Por medio de tu Santo Espíritu te pedimos que nos dirijas a toda verdad y a toda enseñanza bíblica, Señor, que salga de tu corazón. Permite ahora que la podamos entender y la podamos hacer, Señor. Te pedimos, Padre, que seamos tu instrumento en este día y que me ayudes a mí a hablar tu palabra, Señor, sin contaminarla con ideas de hombre ni con otras percepciones, Señor. Te lo pido, Padre Santo, en el nombre de Jesús. Amén. So, if we may stand to read the Word of God now in verse 18, Romans 1, verse 18 through 32. Okay. So, what we'll do, let's read the first three verses, and then we will continue reading them as we progress along the message today, okay? Verses 18 through 20, I have it also in the King James Version here, it makes it easier for you to follow, okay? So dice así, la palabra del Señor dice, porque la ira de Dios se revela desde el cielo con toda impiedad e injusticia de los hombres que detienen con injusticia la verdad, porque lo que de Dios se conoce les es manifiesto, pues Dios se lo manifestó, porque todas las cosas invisibles de Él, su eterno poder y deidad, se hacen claramente visibles desde la creación del mundo, siendo entendidas por medio de las cosas hechas, de modo que no tienen excusa. Vamos a orar. Señor, ahora dirígenos a través de tu palabra santa, Señor. Te damos gracias en el nombre de Jesús. Amén. We may be seated. Vamos a sentarnos. Amén. Gloria al Señor. If you recall what we were talking about in verses 16 and 17 last Sunday, okay? You recall that Paul was stressfully making a point about that the gospel is all powerful. For what? For salvation. Okay, not only to the Gentile and the Jew, but to everyone that is included in the term Gentile, right? And it includes even us. So no matter how lost you were, the gospel working with the power of the Holy Spirit is able to transform and save anyone, no matter who he is, right? He was stressing that point, making it clear that what he was about to talk about was against a sound context, right? Now he changes the topic and goes to show the state in which humanity is. And he begins with the Gentiles. He will deal with the Jews in chapter 2, right? At the beginning of chapter 2. But now with the Gentiles, since he's referring and addressing this letter to the Romans, the Gentiles, right? Say, this is the state that every Gentile is. But don't despair, because the Jews are in a very similar state. Okay, and they have a little bit more of responsibility, but we'll deal with that in chapter 2. Now, in chapter 1, his topic in this very last verse is condemnation. That's the topic of the title of the sermon, contains the word condenado, damned, or condemned. The same topic that Paul is expressing here. Now, and this does... The intent of the message today is not to convey the idea that we are lost. But if anyone is lost here, there is, okay, a good opportunity to get saved today, right? But it is really for the church to understand why is it that it is so needed, okay, that we go out there and preach the gospel, that we go out there and testify, that we go out there and contrast a godly life against a worldly life, and that we explain clearly what are the consequences of living a condemned life like most everyone is living today. Very important, okay? Especially because the Jíbaro, if we convey each Puerto Rican, ideally, you ask, and the Puerto Rican, every Puerto Rican inside everyone, they have a little Jíbaro too, right? And they like the countryside, and they like the rice and beans, and they like, no matter how finicky they are, they always like the ñame, they always like the yautía, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, go out and find out. I mean, in a Puerto Rican style restaurant, right? So everybody likes those. Oh, I feel like I am a very patriotic man, and they go and they understand everything that is going on regarding the politics. There is a little jíbaro in every Puerto Rican. But the thing is, okay, that even though we may have a lot of good traits to talk about the little Puerto Ricans and the little Jíbaros, it doesn't matter. They are all lost unless they have accepted Christ. Okay, so it's like I was talking to someone the other day. I can't recall who it was, but we were talking about people when they die, right? You can have a criminal. You can have one that beat his wife, that beat his kids. Okay, that didn't sustain it. But when he is in a coffin, you say, oh, look at him. Doesn't he look so calm now? It is as he was so good through all his life. And he tends to forget all the bad things that he did, right? Because when somebody's in the coffin, you tend to take pity on him or her, right? Not that pity is wrong, but that the point is that everything is transformed in the minds of people when someone is lying flat and coughing, right? So let's not take too much of a pity on the poor little Puerto Ricans or even the other people in the world, right? On the poor little Jíbaro, because he's lost. And if we are not clear about that, he will never find out. And it's upon us to make it clear to them, right? And that's the job of the church. Aided by the Holy Spirit. Nobody else can do that for us. Now, if we go to the very same verses that we read just now, verses 18 through 20. Okay? It starts showing four stages of why people are condemned. Okay? The first one, okay, is that they know. Okay? They know what was happening. Okay? It says here that God, okay, had revealed it to them. If you read in verse 19, okay, dice, porque lo que de Dios se le conoce les es manifiesto. Okay? Because everything that everybody knows about God, it was shown to them. Right? So God has shown himself through the very first of days, through the creation, through his proclaimed word. So nobody has any excuse to be based on saying that I cannot tell for sure that there is a God out there. Okay? There is no evidence that he's out there. There is no evidence that he has shown his will, because there is evidence. And in addition to that, God has manifested himself throughout that creation. That's what verse 19 is saying. Okay? Nobody can say, oh, I am like this because I don't know any better. Like if it was an excuse, right? Eso no es ninguna excusa. Personas que dicen, yo soy así, pero conocen que Dios se revela a través de la naturaleza. Y conocen que en Puerto Rico, aquí, ¿quién será aquel que no ha escuchado el Evangelio, hermano? Algunos podrán decir, bueno, lo he escuchado quizá un poquito, ¿verdad?, condimentado con cosas que no son el Evangelio, con algunos errores, sí. Pero ¿quién no ha escuchado en Puerto Rico que hay que salvarse a través de Cristo? I have to think very hard about single Puerto Rican that haven't heard the gospel in this island. Right? The question is, why is it that they are not saved? All of them. They should be saved. I mean, they have an island, and it's not that easy to get out of this island. There are many flights out of here, too, but most people like it here. So if they want to stay here, and they keep on hearing the gospel every single day, why is it that they haven't changed their life? What is the condition? What is the impediment? What is the constraint that they have right now? So it's beginning to tell us right here that they understand, they are not naive about what they're doing. Because they knew about God, and God has been showing himself since the beginning of creation, right? Up to this day. And says rightly so in verse 19, right? And then it goes in verse 20 to explain that throughout all the invisible things about God, okay, all his power and his deity, they have been very, very clearly visible since the creation of the world, right? Nobody can say, oh, I don't know God. Because he would have to be living like in a coffin, maybe in a bubble. But those that have been out here, we know that this didn't came to be just by itself, right? And this is the debate that the evolutionists and creationists are having every single time, right? About where this world that we know came from. Okay, did it create it out of a loud big bang, and where was matter created, and all these debates that what really lies into is whether we can believe the Bible or not. Most people are abiding by that, right? Now, the thing is, like it says at the end of verse 20, they don't have any excuse. Neither did we. Right? And I know a lot of people really just at my work, day job, they're arguing about this. They claim to be very, very wise people, very intelligent people. And they have a lot of wild arguments about why is it that there is no God? And why is it that we, since there's no God, we can do whatever we please, right? So they're very intelligent. I mean, they apply a lot of gray matter to claiming and sustaining that they can do whatever they like because there is no God. But the Bible tells them wrong. There is a God, and it has shown to them and to us since the very beginning, right? So they are intelligent. In this past, to condemnation, to being condemned, first step is, oh, I know, but I prefer to say that I don't know, and that is a big problem. Okay? If you can recall most people that you tell the gospel about the gospel, and you testify to them, okay, all of a sudden they pick up the truth and they start claiming that they are not. They don't know what you're talking about. They haven't heard about that before. And start claiming and asking a lot of different questions as if they didn't already know the answers. And that is typical of what he says here. They know what was going on. They knew God. God revealed to them, but they chose not to believe in Him. Okay? And that is a big problem. That is what that starts all this snowball effect. Tower thing come down. Okay? Now, if you read verses 21 through 23 in this case, dice, pues habiendo conocido a Dios, they knew God through His creation, right? Dice, no le glorificaron como a Dios. They decided not to glorify God, right? They took a decision. There was a revelation made to them, but they decided not to give the glory to the Creator. Okay? Dice, ni le dieron gracias, neither were thankful, right? Sino que se envanecieron en sus razonamientos y su necio corazón fue entenebrecido. They became vain in their imagination, says the King James. For their foolish heart was dark. Right? Eso es lo que estamos viendo aquí. Ahora bien, beyond intelligence, they then became fools. They became ignorant. And there is such a fine line between being very intelligent, okay, and then being a total fool. And the people that don't know God, they have such a facility, they have such a skill of being trying to be wise and intelligent and look like fools. And believe me, before we knew God, we were the same as well. Okay? We thought we knew everything. We thought we had it all sorted out. But in reality, what we were saying is, and we were claiming is, we are actually denying what it is so evident to everyone. And that is the path that after being intelligent and knowing that God has revealed, you take a decision and say, no, He has. I choose this other path. So it's a decision that they make. Okay? When Adam and Eve were in the Eden, okay, in the Garden of Eden, they had a decision to make. It was thrown to them. It was made evident to them by the devil, right? Even though if you backtrack and you go to the part where God told them, you can do so, but you can't do this. It was very clear, right? It was a revelation that was made to them by God. So they had a decision to make at that point. We're going to be obeying God or we are not. So afterwards, the devil just brought up that very same decision-making point, right? Says, oh, no, but you know, there is something else beyond this. He was adding sort of intelligence, right, to that state. So he was just peppering and, you know, seasoning the fact that they had a decision to make, and he was actually recommending them that they take the wrong decision. And we know the story. We know that they did, right? I mean, they were not ignorant. They decided to play the ignorant by not abiding for what God had said. And this is the same with everyone today, unless he or she has been saved through Jesus. They know, but they choose to say that they know. They play the ignorant, right? And eventually, it gets them. You can play ignorant for a portion of time, and eventually, you will be ignorant, truly, with a certificate. That is what he's saying here. Okay? Because in verse 22, they're professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, right? It is a point that we switch. And all of a sudden, you are a fool, truly a fool, okay? And you don't know it. And the thing is, you can't get out of it unless you are touched by the Holy Spirit and shown how fool you really are. But this is the condition that people are. Start making, you know, big things about being intelligent, and all of a sudden, they start doing foolish things, and then they became a true, you know, sustainable fool, like all of us were before we knew Christ, right? And this, if you think back, maybe you're thinking now, oh, this is why I used to do all those dumb things before. Okay? And you can say, now I know better, but then back then I didn't know better. And it's real. I mean, you didn't know better, but maybe before that time where you didn't know better, you used to know. The thing is that you decided, like it says here, just to play dumb, eventually it caught on you. And that is the condition with most everyone. You know that other poor jíbaro that we were saying here? This one, right? Even that poor jíbaro, okay? Yeah, he has arthritis and everything, right? On the feet, you know, he's not doing too well. He's an old man. Maybe he's in his 60s. You say, no, he should be 90s. But all the hard work in his life, he's probably been 60 years old. Okay? He has had to work the land real tough. Okay? The Puerto Rican countryside. And he's very proud to be carrying with him, you know, a lot of plantains for his meal that night. It's going to be his bread of every single day, right? El pan nuestro de cada día. Now, what's wrong with the picture here? So it doesn't matter how pitiful a person may look. It's actually what is it that he believes, and what is his relationship with God, and has he been saved or not? Okay, people are usually avoiding all those questions. Okay, they are usually avoiding the fact that God has revealed to them since the beginning, and they have to make a decision. Because someone back then made a decision not to honor God. Now they have to make a decision whether they want to reverse that. But if people start playing intelligent and then they become fools, like it's been said here up to verse 23, then we have a very big problem. And it goes on, and it gets worse from here. Okay? It gets worse. We're still not even halfway through. Now, I don't know if I'm saying the right word. It's amnesty, right? Like una amnistía. God is calling for time. You know, you're playing a game. Time. Let's make a decision here. I'm going to offer you something. Okay? Like they do, and they are starting to do now, the government, the local government, in the property taxes here in Puerto Rico, they're starting to tell people, hey, we're going to give you an opportunity. If you pay your taxes now, you won't have to pay any penalties on past due invoices. Okay? So they are giving them 1 month to make up their mind and say, pay now and avoid being, you know, paying penalties in the future. Okay? So this is an amnesty that God is making to everyone. And if we go to Acts 17, verse 30, I have it here. Okay? What it says is, pero Dios, habiendo pasado por alto los tiempos de esta ignorancia, remember that they played intelligent, now they became ignorant, they became fools. Saying, God is willing to pass on the foolishness. Why is it? Because now He's commanding everyone, in every place, to repent. He said, I know that there is only one way out here, and if it were by me, and by the law, you would all be condemned, and you would have to suffer condemnation. But hereby, I'm asking for time, and I'm giving you the choice, okay, to repent. And that's the gospel. That Christ came down, He died for us, He rose on the third day, and He's asking every single one to repent. It's as simple as that. But people, most of the time, the intelligent ones / truly certified fools, they think that this is too easy for them to do, or too easy for them to believe. They want to complicate things because they are intelligent. And everyone who claims to be a little bit intelligent wants to complicate things, right? Who doesn't? But with God, it's very simple. You are condemned, I'm offering you an amnesty for you to get saved, right? So all to this point, from intelligent, they became fools. But no, wait, it gets worse. And this portion we're going to read now explains why they behave like they do, or why did we behave the way we did, right? Now if we go then to verse 24, okay? Let's go to verse 24. Dice, por lo cual también Dios los entregó a la inmundicia. Wow. En la concupiscencia de sus corazones, de modo que deshonraron entre sí sus propios cuerpos, ya que cambiaron la verdad de Dios por la mentira, honrando y dando culto a las criaturas antes que al Creador, el cual es bendito por los siglos. Amén. Now, in this foolishness that they chose, now they begin to go to what I'm calling a state of indulgence. Indulgence meaning freely going or freely being let go into everything that they had in their foolish mind. Okay? It is as if God had cut the chain on them, like on a chain dog, cut the chain and let this foolish dog do whatever he chooses to. And that is a crude illustration, but that is what happened here. Now they chose in their foolishness, okay, to change God's truth. It says so in verse 25, right? This truth of God that was revealed since the very beginning, they willingly chose, okay, to change it for lies, for mentira, por la mentira. Ve, lo dice, cambiaron la verdad de Dios por la mentira. In their foolish ways, they chose to go for the error instead of the truth, right? And that is why they started going for their own lusts, their own sin that was in their heart. That's what verse 24 says. God, seeing them, that they were not abiding by Him, that they chose to be intelligent and foolish, He said, well, I'm just going to let them be what they want to be. So it's like, be all that you can be, right? Really apply to Scripture. So they chose to do that, and God just let them. So when people say, oh, I did this and that, and I heard people say this wrongly, some people claim that when they do something wrong, they were forced to do it. God forced them to do it. And it's not true. Because what really happens is that when people do something wrong, it came out of the very same sin that is within their heart. And they didn't need any help on that. Some people even say that the devil made them do it. Now the devil is not actually making anyone do anything. He may be actually, you know, sending you to do it. He may be enticing you to do it. But he won't do it for you. You need to do it yourself. Since you commit yourself, the devil is condemned already. But anything that comes out wrong of our mouth, it doesn't mean, oh, that came out wrong. Well, no, it came out right, really. Because it came out right out from your heart, so it came out right. Okay, oh, I did that wrong. No, you didn't. You did that right according to your own sin, right? We need to be very careful about that. So this is why Romans is telling us in this portion, when we decided to play intelligent, we ended up fools, and then we decided to indulge in the sin that we had chosen. And that is the problem. And I start by saying that they chose, okay, the lie instead of the truth, and began serving or worshiping the creatures before worshiping the Creator, right? And that's where they started making gods out of stone, out of wood, even worshiping the animals, or even worshiping people. I mean, and we have that kind of thing happening right now. You don't have to go to very far away places to find people worshiping people. Okay, we have, I mean, right here in Puerto Rico, you can find that. And I won't go into detail who are they worshiping, but you can tell. People worship politicians. People worship what they think are evangelists, what they think are pastors, what they think are apostles in this day. They worship all this kind of thing. Now they started for a long time ago worshiping nature, right? They worship Mother Earth. They worship the environment. They worship global warming. They worship anything they have instead of God. They started doing that because they chose to believe a lie instead of the truth. Okay? And it's happening every time. So when you go and testify to them, you are counteracting that lie that they chose to live for. And even now, even though they are not being, I would say, militant about the lie that they believe and live for, it's still there. Some of them are very, very vocal about it, but most of them are not. Most of them are not even, are not necessarily aware that everything that is happening to them is because they chose to live that life and God just let them do it. And that is what's happening. Okay? They indulge in sin. Now, if we go to Matthew chapter 4, just to clarify the point, okay? Where when you're being tempted by the devil, you do have a choice, right? Si va a Mateo 4, 8 al 11, gloria sea el Señor. Dice, again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain and shewed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now Jesus had a choice, didn't he? So people today have a choice, right? Look at the choice he made. Then says Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Okay? Now people who are playing ignorant / intelligent, they are so deeply in sin that they cannot tell the difference between a good choice and a bad choice. And that is the problem they have. How is it that they are going to know? Through the mercy of God, through the Holy Spirit. And who needs to tell them? We need to tell them. Right? And we need to tell them very clearly about it. Okay? Now, you recall the illustration about the very bad person lying in a coffin? Right? So, focus on the coffin. Everyone that dies, no matter how far they can claim that they were ignorant, that they didn't know, that they were just plain dumb, that they didn't know any better, okay? It's not going to work when they get face to face with God, right? They will have to face Him and they will have to give a report, okay, on what they did and what they believe or didn't believe, right? So no matter how good, or no matter how bad, or no matter how, you know, how stressful a life he lived, or she lived, it doesn't matter. Some people think, here in Puerto Rico especially, that if they suffer as much as the Jíbaro did, they don't have to do anything else. They have a straight ticket to heaven. And people believe here. I recall from someone from the visitation yesterday came up with that, and if someone saw someone that replied to him, oh, all you need to do is to behave, right? To be good to your neighbor. Alguien dijo eso, ¿verdad? Yo lo que necesito es hacerle el bien al vecino. As long as I'm good to my neighbor, I'm taken care of. I mean, and it plays centrally of what most people here actually believe, because they have been taught since the beginning that they can be saved through words, right? Through the Roman Catholic Church, right? They have done that job for them. Now they believe that. And they say, no. All I need to do is to be good. Johnny, be good, right? That's what they tell their kids. Be good, and then Santa Claus will bring you something on Christmas Day. And even though they grow up and don't believe in Santa Claus, they believe that if they are good, they will go straight to heaven. And that is the problem here. They started intelligent, they became fools, and now they indulge in all the things they do, except that they play good to the neighbor and they say they're going to get saved. Brother and sister, we need to do something about that. Right? Now, if we go beyond, okay, that statement about being indulgent in sin, what can actually free them? And we know that too. If we go to John chapter 8, right? We already know which verses those are. Verse 31, 32, in John they said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now recall that in Romans it's saying they decided to swap truth for a lie. Okay? This is because they were trying to play intelligent and then play dumb, and eventually they were hooked on that. So they chose to swap truth for a lie. Now the only way they would know what the truth is, if they actually know God, for they have to be told, and they have to be testified, and that's our job. And then the Holy Spirit can do His job in throwing some sense upon them. Because they are all governed by lies. Okay, they are all used to be swarming and swimming in lies. that they cannot know the difference unless you explain it to them, and the Holy Spirit is merciful enough to show them and clarify it for them, right? And that is our job. That's why I say we need to be very clear. When we have the chance to talk to someone, talk to someone. I recall the other day in the parking lot, in my day job, someone was reacting to the magnetic sign that we have now in the cars, and we have them now in Spanish. Okay? There is one that says, "Si te murieras, if you die today," very very blunt. Okay, "Si te murieras hoy, ¿a dónde te irías?" Like, where did you choose to go? It's even better because it doesn't say where would you be thrown into. It doesn't say like that. It says, where would you go? Would you go straight to heaven or to hell? And someone was passing by, and when I was, you know, just parking my car and taking my bag and going out to work, and he said, "What does it mean? Where would I go?" And I told him, well, exactly that. Where would you go? Where did you choose to go? And he goes like blank-minded and says, well, I want to go to heaven." Then if you want to go to heaven, there is only one way to heaven. Okay? Dice, Jesucristo dijo, "Yo soy el camino." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Okay? No one will go to my Father, to heaven, unless by me, right? There is no other way. And he said, "I believe in Jesus." That if you believe in Jesus, you need to believe the way the Bible tells you to believe, right? Tienes que creer. You have to believe that he died for you and he rose for you as well. But you need to believe and confess that, okay? In order for you to be saved and transformed. It's not that you know that Jesus came and you know that he rose. That those are different things. And there's a lot of people that know that. Okay. Now he was walking away because he had something else to do. He was with one visitor and he was like, "Yeah, I have to escort this visitor, but at the same time I'm very curious about what you're saying." Okay? So let's pray for that man that I may find him again. You know, he works in the facilities. He works normally in the plenums, right, where the air conditioners and the utilities are. So I may find them and complete the conversation, right? But exactly that, I mean, if I would say to him, "Oh no, play nice. Oh no, I understand what you're going through. Oh my, I should take pity on you. And no, I know you have had a hard life, and you have 4 kids, or have 7, 8 kids, and I mean, you have to work so far, and you don't have time for God, that's right. So just keep on doing that and try to do as best you can." If we give that wrongful message, that shady, puffy message, then people will never understand it clearly. I mean, they are condemned because they chose to. There is only one way out of condemnation, and it's to believe in Jesus Christ. How would they know about that? Because when he was first revealed to them, they chose not to abide by that. And they fell into foolishness. So now they can see all the creation. Now they can see every single miracle work that God did. But it is as if nothing was happening. Because they saw it first and then they decided not to believe it. Okay? That's what's happening. You remember the smell analogy I told you about a few days ago? I mean, you can be in a very foul smell place, you know. But if you're there long enough, you will get to love the smell. It doesn't smell so bad, like jet fuel, where I live. I live right beside the landing strip. Right? And even the noise, the jets taking off, I don't hear them. I live 30 years there. Jet fuel is like the smell of roses to me. Doesn't make any difference to me because I've been there long enough. So I don't pay attention to it. I don't even notice. I don't care. Right? So people are like that with a lot more serious matter. They don't care about God because they decided once not to abide by him. Right? Who's gonna let them or call down to them to rise up? That's our God. Okay? Now, from indulgence in sin, they went to being impenitent, right? Unrepentant. And that's the state that we are dealing with them right now. They are unrepentant. If you recall verses 26 to the end of the chapter, he says, let me go there, he says, por esto Dios los entregó a pasiones vergonzosas. He says, for this cause God gave them up into vile affections. Let me go to the English. Okay. Dice, los entregó a una pasión vergonzosa. Now, it really shows that they chose the wrong way. Right? Dice, pues, aún sus mujeres cambiaron el uso natural por el que es contra naturaleza. ¿Qué está diciendo ahí? Hermano, hay personas que dicen, aquel nació homosexual. This one and that one were born homosexual. Right? That's what science is claiming today. But that's not what the Bible says. The reason for being homosexual or for being a sinner is that they chose not to honor God. And then God cut the chain and let them loose in their wild affection and their wild beginnings of everything sinful they have in their heart. It was as if they were completely free at wanton sinning. You know, they just went out and began sinning. So among those, homosexuality is one. So it goes very deeply, and we recall Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? Recall what God did with them at that time. It played very centrally into this very same state, okay? Where does homosexuality come from? It comes from sin. It is a sin. It's not a choice. A choice is what type of food are you going to be eating afterwards. That's a choice. What you do with your body, okay, is a sin if you don't do it to honor God. Right? This is what is saying, being said here. Now, verse 27 says, likewise also the men, dejando el uso natural de la mujer, se encendieron en su lascivia unos con otros. Okay. They left the natural use of the woman, sir. And they did the same with their own kind. And that's wrongful too. So it goes to show, both of them are coming from the same sinful nature, the nature that they decided to abide by. Okay? God is not responsible for this. They are. God only cut the chain and let them be. And it is like that for every wrong trait that we have. We cannot blame God for it. It is something that we chose to go and to abide and to live for. That is the problem here. Now, if you go further down, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, recall that they tried to play intelligence first, and then dumb, and then became certified dumb, and then they became indulgent in their own decisions, and now it's raining on them the actual consequence of those decisions. This is what it's saying. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate man. Reprobate is a failing man. When you fail an exam, you are a reprobate, right? You failed to live by God's standard. You chose not to live by God's standard. That's a decision. Okay? Now, when I say you, I don't say literally you. I say us as a humanity, right? But before we knew God, it applied to us as well, right? Now, in a certain way, it applies to us even though you're saved too. Just because every single time you're faced up with a decision. And you need to honor God with that decision, right? Sometimes we don't. Okay? So it's like a remnant of this nature, okay, that we still have, that we have to fight every single day, okay, in order to honor God every single way, every single minute, right? This is to do those things which are not convenient. Convenient, why they are not convenient? Convenient maybe in the way that we understand the language today. Convenient may be a softer word that what it actually conveys in nature. convenient is things that are not right, that do not honor God. Convenient. In Spanish, you say the same. Hacer cosas que no convienen. Because of a reprobate mind. Una mente reprobada. If you recall, we were studying Ephesians last Tuesday. And we were studying about una mente renovada. A renovated mind, right? Contrasting this reprobate mind. The reprobate mind comes from the fact that they chose not to honor God. Now the renovated mind actually comes from the work of the Holy Spirit after you're saved, right? And it is a continuous work. It is a very hard work that you're not able to do yourself. The Holy Spirit has to do it every single day. And it takes a while. It actually takes all your life. Okay? To be more and more like the image of God through the work of the Holy Spirit. So people, the same way that the people didn't go from intelligent to dumb to indulgent to unrepentant in a single minute, the work of God in your life, reverting on that, starts with a single step in salvation, but then continues slowly but surely throughout all your Christian life. And that is something that you have to recall every single day. Anytime you're faced with, oh, I did this wrong. Why is it that I don't have the mind of Jesus right now? Because it's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. You have to abide by His word. You have to believe Him for what He is. You have to serve. You have to be continuous. You have to be faithful. And God will keep on doing His part. Right? That is the way it works, according to Scripture. Ahora bien, they rejected the knowledge of God and became unrepentant. That is the state of people that we are dealing with right now. And I recall handing a tract to a man yesterday. He was in a car. He wasn't going to open his window, but finally he did. And I noticed he had a big punch right here. I mean, somebody either punched him or hit him with a stick or a bat or something. He has this very tender here, swelling. And the eye was not right. Okay? There was a little kid in the same car. And he you know, eventually he took the track and I explained to him why is it that we were out in the street. And that he needed God in his life. But he was just very quick. Oh yeah, thank you. And then closed the window. So people are in a big problem. I don't know why was he being, hit for, or where he got in a fight, or I don't know. It didn't seem as if he had failed, because it's not the right place to hit when you fail, right? It is the right place to be hit when you're fighting or something. So maybe he fought, or maybe he didn't, but most likely he fought. So he fought because of what? And you go back and you backtrack in a lot of different things, and eventually you come down to this very same portion of Scripture. Okay? People rejected God, and now they are paying the consequences. Now, what should we do, or what do we need to do about it? We were saved from that very same condition, were we not? Because someone took the time to preach to us, and someone took the time to faithfully testify to us. Because I doubted that it only took a single instance for you to get witnesses, right? So someone did kept on preaching and testifying. So we need to do the same for those who are lost. Now, throughout these verses, we understand that they think they are free. Because remember that God cut their chains. And they are free to do whatever they will. But in reality, they're left God to go into a deeper bondage with the devil. Now these people are in bondage, and you point out the chains to them, and they say, no, I don't have any chains. I'm just fine the way I am. No necesito que tú me libertes, no necesito nada de Dios. Yo estoy completamente bien. Yo estoy como el jíbaro aquel. Mira, como ese, loco de contento. Con su cargamento para la ciudad. ¿Ah? Bendito sea el Señor. And most people are just carefree. Oh, I don't have a care in this world. And that is a very famous saying for the Jivaro Sutra. Okay? The vendor is going very happily to the city to sell his produce right here in the market, right? Loosely translated. Oh, that is a pretty picture I have in my mind. It calls me of better times. In reality, the times where the Jivaro lived, if you ask him, they were not really better times. He would prefer these times to the times he was living, actually. But we prefer to think very, romantically, that those times were better. Oh, those were the times where we didn't have enough to eat, but there were better times. We didn't have anything to clothe, but those are better times. We were pained because of our sinful ways, but those were great times. And that is the deceitful state that people are today. And I ask again, who has the responsibility to go and tell them about it? We do, right? Now, if you continue reading on, you will find out that Paul details all the bad things that come out because they chose not to honor God. Okay? And they, in verse 28, it says, and even as they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave him over to a reprobate mind. And if you read verse 29 and 30, you find out what a reprobate mind can do. Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, maliciousness, envy, debate, just to sort through them, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Take your pick. See, and that came out just because they decided not to honor God. And God let them be. That is the state that they are right now. Okay? Now, what do we need to do about it? Because, as it says rightly in Psalms 14:1, okay, this is the condition that they are right now. This is, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doth good. Right? Why is that? Because what we just read and was explained to us here. Now they went from witnessing God to claiming that there is no God. Something happened there, and it was all their decision. Now, if they want to reverse that decision, they don't know any better right now. We need to tell them. Okay? Por eso dice así, dice el necio, en su corazón no hay Dios. ¿Por qué? Because they are corrupt. They are working with a reprobate mind. Now, what do we need to do? If we go to 2 Corinthians 9:15, we were quoting from 2 Corinthians a while ago, right? But before we go there, if we go to an illustration right now, the elephants right there in Africa, right? There was an anecdote from a missionary in Central Africa, in the Congo region, right? Named Dan Crawford. He said, the heathen are sinning against the flood of life. Loosely translated, los impíos están pecando ante una inundación de luz. What flood of life? Because God is revealed through nature. And even before, and even better than that, he's been revealed through the saved. So he's been revealed through many, many ways right now. Through creation and through us. And we need to do it more. But it's been revealed out there. The light is shining on them, but they keep on sinning. Right? They because they don't have and they don't know any better. So we need to keep on doing our job of preaching to them. Right? Now, 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for me, for his unspeakable gift. What gift? The salvation that he gave us. Now we are saved because we heard the gospel. And we had the opportunity to get saved, right? He shows us to hear the gospel and get saved. And we need to do the same. So what we did yesterday, we need to keep on doing that. We need to go out there. We need to preach. We need to use the radio. We need to use the website. We need to use any other, any single opportunity we have. And I was telling Brother Bob the other day, the older we get, or the older I get, at least me, the less tolerant I get. And it used to be that when I was younger, I used to be very famous for not being tolerant. And it got me into a little bit of trouble sometimes. Because I was maybe too much too soon at those times. But right now, as time goes by, I realize that people are getting lost. And we need to be very, 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 very clear about it. And give them the opportunity to get saved. Right? That single opportunity that we may have to testify to them, let it be as clear as possible. Okay? Porque si no, dice la palabra, si la trompeta diere sonido incierto, dice, ¿quién se aparejará para la batalla? I don't know the right translation in English, but if the trumpet would give the wrongful sound, okay, an uncertain sound, who would prepare for battle? Okay? Was the trumpet calling us? Or was he just playing or practicing? Or what is the message that he gave? It was confusing. Okay? Let's be clear about the need they have to get saved. Okay? Y con esto quiero terminar. Ephesians 5:14 says, wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Despiértate tú que duermes, y levántate de los muertos, y te alumbrará Cristo. Now, when te alumbrará Cristo, that's when it all comes to them. And they realize all the wrongful things, starting with the wrongful decision they make once. So how does it get to the point? We need to preach Christ. Amen. And that's what the church needs to do. That's what we need to go out. That's what we need to keep on preaching. We need to be testifying. It's not only talking. It's testifying with your life too. Right? Every single thing you do, you say, you look like the way you see or the way you actually watch things, it testifies. So make sure that it testifies of yourself, of your Savior, actually not of your own deeds, okay? We need to be very clear about that with people. Amen. Now, if I were to summarize what we have been saying, God is calling us, okay, yet again, throughout what we have just read today, to go out there and preach. But also preach Him in the church, preaching outside as well. Because people are lost and they don't know any better. Most of them don't even know they are lost. Because they try to play intelligence so much that they are so confused that they don't know any better right now. So we need to let them know. Most of them won't like it. But we need to let them know. Some of them will like it, and we need to let them know too. Okay? So, it all begins with yourself, and it begins with your dedication, okay, to this mission that was thrown upon us when we were saved, okay? And I want to leave you with this, so that when I read this, I understand there is a very, very, pressing need for us to go out and preach, for us to be testifying, for us to be clear about the message that we're sending out. Okay? And I ask everyone to pray about it so that God may show you you're doing the right thing, keep on doing it. If you need to modify your ways too. Okay? If you need to modify your schedule, your timing, your job, your family, yourself, your finances, whatever it is, make sure you do it and align with God in working with Him in saving people. Amen. Let's do that. Let's pray. Let's stand up and pray. Gloria a Dios. Vamos a orar. Oramos. Señor Padre Santo, en esta hora te damos gracias por tu bendición y por ser bueno con nosotros, por habernos dado esta oportunidad de venir a tu casa. Gracias por haber escuchado tu palabra, por habernos dado, Señor, la bendición de poder estar en ella en este día varias veces. En la escuela dominical y también ahora en la predicación. Gracias por mis hermanos que están aquí. Gracias por haber escuchado el mensaje. And we are very grateful for the Holy Spirit to have guided us through the scripture. And we have understood it clearly now. But now we need your help in actually convincing us and organizing us in the way that you like us to be organized, to be aligned with you all together in this mission that you gave to us. So we are asking you, Lord, to bless us with a deeper understanding of the Word, of your Word, and with a zeal to go out there and preach the gospel, testify the gospel, and make sure that we remember every single time that the time is short. So therefore, there is not too much time. Therefore, we don't have time to lose. Therefore, I think you're telling us, what is it that you're doing that you're not doing all things that you need to do for me? So ahora mismo, Señor, te pedimos que tú nos bendigas, nos aclares la mente en aquellas cosas que tengamos que ser afinados. Oh, Señor, que nos afines, nos ponga de acuerdo, Señor, al obrero perfectamente preparado para llevar esta obra de predicación. Te pedimos, Señor, ahora que esta palabra esté en nuestro corazón y nos bendiga, nos edifique, que meditemos en ella y que, Señor, podamos así ser mejores discípulos tuyos. Padre, predicando tu palabra, danos las oportunidades. Show us all the opportunities we have. Open doors for us in those ways that you would like us to serve, beyond those that we have on our minds. Te pedimos esto, Señor, para que nos ayudes, nos ilumines a tu iglesia. Now, if there will be someone today that needs to get saved, that have realized throughout the Word and the Holy Spirit that you need salvation and want to confess Christ as your Savior, now's the time. Would someone need to be saved today? ¿Hay alguien que necesite ser salvo? Que haya reconocido. Ahí engañado estaba yo. Pero ya no estoy engañado. Ahora yo quiero recibir a Cristo como Salvador. Alguien que quiera recibir a Cristo. Someone that hasn't professed Christ as Savior and wants to do it right now. Would there be someone? Amen. Okay. God, we thank you for today, for your word, for the fellowship we have had. And now we ask you that you bless us as well as we go out. Protect us in the roads. And bring us again this Tuesday night for the Bible study, and that you bless us in that Tuesday night with your word again and the Holy Spirit. Te damos gracias, Señor, y te lo pedimos todo ahora, intercediendo, Señor, en el nombre de Jesús. Amén. Amén. Gloria al Señor. Que Dios me les bendiga, hermanos. God bless you all, and I look forward to seeing you again next Tuesday. Amén.